Now, in its seventh year, you're listening to Catholic Vitamins with Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee. Ho'opo mai ka'i. Blessings.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, after a long delay, we're back.
And I almost thought we weren't going to be back now.
Even now. Well, it's because am I getting old?
No, but you were sick.
I was sick with bronchitis. I think it's bronchitis.
You're still not over whatever it is.
I'm still coughing and whatever, but this is a vitamin show. We have to be healthy and full of life about our faith. Hi, everybody. It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We're glad you're with us once again. And Dee, what show is this?
This is Catholic Vitamin I. For ideas with our guest, Deacon Fergal O'Neill from Ireland, our friend Fergal.
What kind of ideas do you have about improving your faith walk? I sort of preached about that a little bit today, didn't I? I did all of the masses, the English masses, and I preached about trying to raise to new life in Christ Jesus and to use the sacramental life of the church as a way to do that. And then I told the story about a wonderful priest from Altamonte Springs, Florida, who left a wonderful legacy of his life. And I got an awful lot of feedback on that. So what ideas do our listeners have? Dee, what ideas do you have? Well, she said.
Put me on the spot. You do that all the time.
Well, yes.
I'd rather talk about somebody else's ideas.
Okay.
You know, we threw out there way back when we were saying what we were going to do for I, that we were going to ask for listeners to give us ideas.
Yes.
Well, we had a few. I remember Brenda coming in with some really good ideas, some good I ideas, but she also had some cute ones.
Uh-huh.
She said, how about some fun suggestions like igloo, iceberg, Inuit?
That's because of our Alaska.
She was thinking about our Alaskan cruise we were going to be taking. She said maybe you could interview an Alaskan priest.
Well, I did make outreach. I haven't been able to connect yet, but it's still something I'm willing to try. There was a wonderful priest that we met in, where was that?
Juneau.
Juneau, at the cathedral in Juneau. And I was allowed to be a deacon for the mass up there. So that was wonderful.
Actually, we may have mentioned this on the previous podcast. I don't remember. It's been too long ago. But we did interview a priest from Alaska years ago.
Yeah, we did.
Back in our early years of the podcast. And it was at a priest from that parish.
He used to be the rector.
From that church that we went to when we were in
Juneau. He used to be the rector of that cathedral. You're right.
But sadly, he passed away.
At an early
very,
age.
Very, very young.
Yeah.
Very young. And you said that you were in the sacristy there. You saw his picture on the wall.
I did. As soon as I saw his picture, I recognized the picture of him. He's very honored back there. Well, dear friends.
By the way, this is episode 321.
We do have Mariana, our dear missionary maestro, with us for this show. And she has a few words on ideas.
We have Justin, too.
And we have Justin. I have to say that we must really apologize, but because of my illness, we're a couple weeks late getting to this. And Justin had given us a TNEP, as he calls them, this new evangelization podcast mini segment. He gave us a TNEP that was about him going to Poland. And that's for World Youth Day, of course, which is wrapping up even as we begin to put together Catholic Vitamins. But I would just remind everyone that outside of this world, eternity has no time, and your prayers for those who travel, those who attended, and those who were set on fire by World Youth Day, those prayers can be efficacious even after the fact in our time setting.
So I felt so great, felt very warm when I realized how many of my Facebook friends are over there in Poland right now.
Wow, wow.
I've been following all the events through them.
So we talked about Mariana, and we talked about my illness a little bit, my struggling with bronchitis. It hit me sort of hard, and I'm still going to go back to the doctor, I think, one more time to see about the lingering effects of this. But I'm also going to take Catholic vitamins, and that'll help me bounce back, I'm sure.
Well, we've both been taking a lot of vitamin C.
Yeah, we have. We
really overloading.
Do you have anything there on your list before we take our first break?
Well, we can read. Oh, no, I don't have it pulled out. I'll save that for next time. We can have prayers. We need to ask for prayers. Our friend Brenda has asked us again for more prayers for Father Greg, their parish priest.
Oh, okay.
Who is suffering with cancer. They found the second tumor, and they were doing a biopsy a week ago. I don't know what the outcome of that has been, but we continue to pray for Father Greg.
All right. Well, we'll do that for sure. And I received an email, which I forwarded over to you, Dee, and it has prayer requests on it. We'll have to get that in on the show.
Oh, I
as
have
well.
It right here.
Oh, all right.
I have it right here. And that was from Mariana.
Oh, yes. All right.
She said she wanted to pray us to pray for her brother's diverticulosis, her mom's bronchitis, plus the 9-year-old schoolboy, Prasad. They just saved this child from child labor last August.
Oh, my heavens. Oh.
And he's in a hospital being treated for jaundice. He's a motherless little guy from a poor family, she says, and could use some spiritual hugs and prayers.
This is in India.
Yes.
And this is part of the missionary support work that Mariana does. So if you are interested in helping financially or with prayers or contacting Mariana, you can go to her website. And finerfeels.blogspot.com will get you in contact with Mariana. And why don't we go ahead and we'll do our Mariana segment, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. Against my garage wall is a little contained garden set like a semicircle against the siding. A decade or so back, we needed a tree taken down in our backyard. And we asked the yard men to go ahead and leave the chips for us in the driveway. The three kids and I stood to watch, noses to the window, as the chips started to form a little mound, then a hill. Then our jaws dropped as the truck dumped its entire load of wood chips into a sizable mountain that measured at least 12 feet in diameter and 5 feet tall. The driver waved cheerily and went on his way, leaving us to run outside and examine this new geographical feature. It didn't take long for the kids to discover that a plastic winter toboggan slides well down a wood chip mountain. My husband took one look when he got home from work and laughed at the ridiculous sight of enough wood chips to open a garden center. All summer we shoveled. Every tree on the property, every flower bed, every hidden nook and cranny all received a nice, thick, decorative blanket of wood chips. We offered wood chips to our neighbors. But still, that pile grew smaller, only infinitesimally. One day we drove into the yard to see smoke emanating from the middle of the pile. It was in the process of internally combusting under that summer sun. We grabbed the rake, spread the chips some more, sprayed them down with water so that no real fire could incubate. We reached the end of ideas as to what to do with all that mulch. When the pile had finally shrunk to a somewhat manageable size, we shoved it against the exterior wall of the garage into a shallow flower bed contained by bricks. I found a damaged statue of St. Francis that needed rescuing at Hobby Lobby. 3 feet tall, the resin statue had a hole in the top of his head and another in his knee, but arranged strategically, St. Francis filled the space beautifully. Hostas took up residence and flaming orange daylilies. A garden trellis backed St. Francis and then a decorative black iron grillwork of grapes and leaves. A sundial came to perch on the bricks, a good reminder of time's passing and of keeping perspective and priorities in order. Later, a local lady needed a new home for her lovely concrete grotto of Mary. It was so heavy, it took 4 of us to put the shrine in our car. Back home, we placed it next to the St. Francis Garden. Her corner was unattractive, though, so this summer I got to work. Swept the area clean, positioned a nice garden stepping stone in front, creating a lovely surface for candles. I replanted some of our flourishing, fragrant mint into pots to flank the shrine, and found a waist-high trellis of cast iron, drastically reduced in a neighborhood store. A bell hangs from the trellis and makes a nice, mellow clang, like a call to prayer. The top of the trellis is shaped like a crown. I placed it in just such a way that this little outdoor area for Our Lady is now an enclosed nook that looks like it was designed carefully. I placed a chair there and have started praying rosaries in that peaceful spot. I just sat out there a moment ago and this thought came to me. This corner of the garage was once one of the least attractive and most abandoned spots in the yard, but now I love it. It all started with that surprising wood chip pile. Whoever had the idea of creating a planting bed from those remaining chips set up a situation that evolved into a lovely prayer spot years down the road. Every day this summer, I've been raking that spot, tending it, placing plants and candles there, and now that little area is loving me back. It beckons to me daily. This sort of intentional care nurtures friendships and family ties, too, as well as our intimacy with God. If we long for eternity and love our Creator intentionally each day through daily prayer, Mass, and seeking God's will in everything, then our relationship to Him will begin to bloom in all sorts of creative, surprising, and wonderful ways. When I visited remote missionaries across our nation for Catholic Home Mission Extension magazine, I saw priests, religious, and lay people acting just like earnest gardeners, intending their little mission outposts and their personal friendship with God and their people. In impoverished spots, I would see gardens, grottos, and humble yet lovely churches. I also saw practical outreaches blooming in the form of clean and efficient soup kitchens and resale shops so the poor could buy what they needed. We have our own missionary outreach in our daily lives, right within the four walls of our home, and outside too, in our neighborhoods. And if things get tough, we can be inspired by our missionaries and their people. They encounter some of the toughest situations amidst poor and often desolate locations. They go toward areas others flee, and then mindfully and prayerfully allow God to work, causing all sorts of wonderful things, and souls and personalities, to bloom. May we too be open to the ideas and promptings given to us through the Holy Spirit, so we can be agents of beauty and change in our suffering world.
Well, we are back, Dee, and glad to be sharing more Catholic vitamins with our friends and listeners. A little bit of a sad area in my heart this morning, Dee. We had Monday morning Mass, and we joined our daughter and two of our grandkids for breakfast. They came up from Scottsdale after spending a couple days down in the Phoenix Heat Basin, and we had breakfast, but they're on their way now back home to Missouri. So kind of a joy to be with them as it was in earlier days.
I'm glad. I mean, it's a long trip for them to come out here, but they got to see the Grand Canyon on this trip. So
they did.
The kids really like that. And we're just glad that they were able to get out for a few days before school begins for everybody.
And they enjoyed their meeting with their cousin, Ellery,
right,
our other granddaughter on this side of right. Arizona.
One cousin they missed seeing because she was off doing a summer camp up in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. Our famous dancer. And in case we've not talked about this with our listeners before, we have a granddaughter who is a budding, is it primarily ballerina?
Mostly ballet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And she is doing things that I could never do with my body. And she does it with great grace. And
she's very, very good.
Yeah. So she's going to a couple week school up in Seattle all by herself. Very moderated, of course, by adults.
Right, but, there are chaperones, and yes.
Right. So you said to me that before we started that you have some feedback.
I do. We just got a couple pieces here. First of all, we had an email from Lisa in Colorado who said, I received the beautiful inheritance CD in the mail yesterday. Thank you so much for that wonderful prize. Audrey, meaning Audrey Assad, has such a lovely voice.
Oh, my heavens. I love that album. I absolutely love Inheritance.
You two have had some wonderful travels lately. Alaska is definitely on our bucket list. I'm glad I can check that one off, but I would go back again.
Well, Lisa, here's the deal, Lisa, in Colorado. I would be happy to be the deacon who would do services on the ship if you would pay our way to cruise with you to Alaska. We had a Catholic Answers cruise that we did some years ago. A few listeners might remember that. We went to, we left from Italy and we went to Greece and Turkey. And, oh gosh, it was just absolutely wonderful. But it always had a daily mass and it had talks by priests. And it was wonderful.
Yes, I would like to do that again, too. We also received a handwritten note from Cindy up in Washington State. I received the Risen DVD. Can't wait to watch it. That was a result of another of our giveaways. She was a recipient.
All right. So if you're relatively new or relatively bored with Catholic Vitamins, keep paying attention because we do offer giveaways. And we'd love to share some faith-oriented items with you.
And this last one I'm going to read is also a handwritten note from Mary Lou, also up in Colorado. And a few episodes back, we did F for faith practice.
Faith practice, yes. Faith, I remember that.
Yeah. And we asked for people about what
practices
they had in their life. And she wrote, "What I do and what works well for me is journaling. Most of my journaling is an outgrowth of reading. The last one was from The Five Loves of John Paul II. And a lot of inspiration comes from my Magnificat. The quote from St. Augustine resonates with me, quote, I endeavor to become one of those who write by progressing and who progresses by writing, end quote.
Oh, gosh. I didn't remember that from St. Augustine, so thank you for sharing that. And I think that book may have come as another of our giveaways on Catholic Vitamins, because we interviewed the author of The Five Great Loves of John Paul II.
Right.
All right. Do we have anything else? Oh, I mentioned heat basin a couple minutes ago.
I know, I was going to bring that up again. Oh my gosh, we have been here. Well, the whole entire country has been under a heat wave.
I'm not sure what it is, but I used to tell people that here in our north central Arizona area that we might have the air conditioning on for a few hours during the day or even some days, maybe all day, but it would always shut off at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And boy, that hasn't been the case this year. It's been on a lot, and we're sorry for any of you who are struggling with heat-related problems or illness.
Well, down in Scottsdale, where our daughter lives, I mean, they're used to, well, I don't know if used to is right, the right words, but I mean, they always have, in this time of year, temperatures in the triple digits.
They do.
But it's unusual for us up here. We've been up close to 100. We've even hit 100 a few days here in our little mountain town, which is unusual for us.
Amen, amen. 111, 112, 113 down the valley. Would you want to live in that? Like, yikes.
No, but we might have to someday.
Well, no, I'm going back to Colorado. Except for the winter winds.
Huh? I'm saying if anything ever happens to us that we become, either of us become incapacitated, our daughter may move us down there.
I thought you were going to say incompetent. All right, we'll be back.
What will we find along the way today? What issues will we deal with? Who will we meet? What sorrows or joys will we experience? Will we deal with traffic problems? Will new burdens appear? Will we focus entirely on earthly goals? Will we be exhausted tonight from the same old pressure and priorities?
I have seen all things that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and a chase after the wind. Ecclesiastes chapter 1.
Lord, you search me and you know me when I sit and when I stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. Behind me and before me, your hand is there. Too wonderful for me, this knowledge is beyond my reach. Before a world is on my
next up on Catholic Vitamins, even though the deacon in the U.S. woke up with some morning we've reached Fergal in the evening, the early evening in Ireland. And Deacon Fergal O'Neill, welcome once again. You have many friends on Catholic Vitamins, so I'm glad to be able to talk with you for a while.
Well, I'm delighted again. Once again, I'm delighted to talk to your good self and delighted to talk to Dee. Always a pleasure from this part of the world. I know it's late evening here now, roughly about 5 o'clock. So I've just got in. I know we tried to do this yesterday, and the way, and you know this well, a deacon's life, you think that you have a spare 10 or 15 minutes and the Lord decides otherwise, and you have things to do. So thank God we're free to talk.
Amen. Great. Amen. All right. Well, Deacon Fergal, the reason I reached out to you is, and some of our listeners know, that you had a great honor that came to you, and we'll get into that in just a moment. How did this get started?
It got started by hearing, first of all, that there was going to be a jubilee for deacons. I was very interested when the Holy Father announced the whole idea of the Jubilee for Mercy. And then as the plans began to unfold, and when I heard that there were going to be specialist masses, and, you know, I was delighted to hear that there was one for deacons, because if my memory serves me correctly, the last time there was a Jubilee gathering for deacons was with now St. John Paul II in the year 2000. So 16 years later, our dear Holy Father Francis has called us together again, and we hoped, I suppose probably against all hope, that the deacons of Ireland would travel together. So my idea was originally that we would get a tour company to organise the transport and the accommodation, and which they did. And then, again, the lives of deacons, we just don't know what's going to happen. One by one, we had originally about 20, 25 deacons who said they'd be interested in going. And one by one, for whatever reason, they fell away. They couldn't travel. Some were sick. Some had to go to hospital. And it was incredible. It basically collapsed. Mm. And it collapsed down to two, myself and Jim Stowe from Newbridge, our neighbouring parish. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to cancel or what. So I had to ring the tour company and tell them to cancel all their plans. And we were talking, would we go, would we not go? So we still decided, look, you know, we signed up to this thing since, I think it was November of last year. Let's just stick with it and let the two of us go. So back to scratch, we had to research on the internet where we would stay. We had to research flights, all that kind of thing ourselves. And thank God got them all into line. We filled out the forms that we had to fill out. There was one registration form, I think, on the Vatican website that we had to fill out if we were interested in going. So I filled that out as group leader, and I put Jim down as associate group leader, and I left it and forgot about it. Didn't think any more about it and left it there. So everything was quiet from maybe, what, November, right through almost until the beginning of May. Maybe it was the second week in May. And I was actually, if I think of it, I was in school and I was teaching a class. And between our classes, the children always move from classroom to classroom. So it gives us maybe 2 minutes of a little break to stretch our legs. And my office happens to be across the corridor from my classroom. So I nipped in, turned on the computer, had a look at the emails. And one of the emails said, Jubilee for Deacons. And then I could see from the Vatican. And I said, I wonder what this is all about. So anyway, clicked in and read this very, very quickly. Dear Deacon Fergal, we would be delighted if you would put forward yourself and another deacon to serve Mass with the Holy Father during the Jubilee for Deacons.
Oh, my.
Now, it was just, it was a shock. It was as if I had heard a tremor or as if the ground had moved. And I had to zip back into class. And whilst I was teaching, I was trying to think, did I read that properly? Did I really see? And then I didn't believe I had read it properly. So I had 40 minutes of a class to get through before I could go back and look a second time. But this time I brought somebody else into the office with me. And I said, just read that and tell me what it says. So the man who was with me, he's the IT man in the school. And he said, it looks like the Holy Father wants you to help him say Mass. And I said, well, okay, I won't be saying Mass with him, but it's the next best thing. So needless to say, I rang home at that moment. I told Mary, I told the kids here, and I went into the second class and I told the children in the classroom that I had just got news. I said, if I'm a little bit distracted, I'd like to tell you why. So I was expecting a kind of the kids to shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, so what, you know, the Pope. But they were absolutely flabbergasted. I mean, their reaction was better than my reaction. to see and the questions they asked and like that too. They were asking me, how did you organize that? And there was no organization. I did what every other deacon did. I signed the form. I registered myself. We went and we booked our own accommodation, so on and so forth. It was certainly a lottery. It had to be some type of lottery, or the Holy Spirit in charge of the lottery. And myself and Jim, thanks be to God, were two from Ireland that were asked to assist at Mass.
All right. Now, before you go any further, I'm just going to remind our listeners. I'm not sure if I've ever shared this with you, Fergal. Deacon Fergal, but so I was a deacon at the ordination of deacons in Rome at St. Peter's Basilica, and when I got there, I found out that I was one of many deacons and priests and bishops and cardinals that were there. So when I came out in procession, while I had the lead position for deacons. I was just one of many, but later pictures that I saw tell me that you were very involved. So let's get into that. What happened?
Okay. Well, when we got news that we were going to assist at the Mass, that was it. We were told, forward your details. We sent on the details. We got an email back to say, thank you so much for your prompt response. We will be in touch. So we didn't know what role we would have. And knowing my luck, I was thinking to myself, what they'll do now is they'll hand me a ciborium and they'll tell me to go off right down the end of the Via della Conciliazione to give out Holy Communion. And that'll be my lot. And I would have been happy with that. I would have been delighted with that. So we then got another email to say, when we come to Rome, we were to go to St. Peter's Square on the Saturday morning, which was the day before the Jubilee Mass, for 9 o'clock to meet with Monsignor Marini. Guido Marini, he's the Pope's Master of Ceremonies. And then I began to realise this is actually serious. This is closer than I thought it was going to be to the Holy Father. So we went, we were up at Cockcrow and we went over and Monsignor Marini was there just inside the main big gates of the Basilica. And he called us out. And the first thing, of course, was a roll call of all the names. And everybody was present, thankfully. And then it was like what they say in scriptures, it was like separating the goats from the sheep, where you were told to step to the left side or the right side. So they came to my name, and of course they couldn't pronounce my first name. They looked at it and they just called me O'Neill. That's all they got. Deacon O'Neill, you stand over there. So all of a sudden I realized I was on my own, and all the other deacons were being sent over to the other side. And I was thinking, well, now they're going to get the big jobs, and I was right. I'm going to be sent down to the middle of nowhere, and fine, let it be. So then about, I'd say, a good 5-6 minutes later, an Argentinian deacon was called out to stand beside me. And as soon as he was called, Monsignor Marini came over and said to us, you two will be assisting the Holy Father.
Oh, my heavens. Oh.
And that was just incredible. We just looked at one another, and all we could do, we'd never met before, but all we could do was just hug one another. It was just so emotional at that moment. And we had to kind of verify afterwards. There was one deacon, he was an American deacon, I can't remember what diocese he was from, but we went up, we said, what did Monsignor Marini mean? He said, you'll be on his left and the other man will be on his right. You will be with the Holy Father the same way as you're with your pastor at Mass on Sunday. You'll be beside him. So you have to come back, he said, you have to come back very early in the morning for a second practice. So that was just, at that stage, when we realised the job, it was just, I can't put into words how you felt. It was really almost one of these moments where they say the finger of God rests lightly on your head. Mm. You could actually it was tangible. You could actually feel it. But just the honour, and the sense that you were going to meet the Pope, because then we understood if we're assisting the Pope, that means that we get to meet him. So all this began to fill through my head, that how big this actually was. And then secondly, I began to think, oh my God, we'll be on television. And thanks be to God, I had all the teachers told back in Ireland and all the students told what time the Mass was on and what channel the Mass was on. So I knew that they'd be looking in, and I was kind of thinking to myself, well, they'll get to see me. They'll know I'm not telling fibs about not being in Rome, actually in Rome with the Pope, So, they brought us back then very early. I think Mass was 10 o'clock on Sunday, but we had to be in St. Peter's for 7:30 in the morning, to get through security and to get through all the various different people and personnel and present our credentials and passports and so on. And when we went in, we had St. Peter's Basilica to ourselves. Mm. It was the most incredible. There was nobody else there. I'd say there must have been maybe 15, 17 deacons in all from all over the world. But the basilica was empty and we were there. And the vesting area for myself and this Argentinian deacon was right in front of the tomb of John Paul II.
Oh, how beautiful.
It was incredible. So I got a half an hour to sit in front of John Paul II's tomb. It felt just like me and him. You know, it was just incredible. And then to walk through the basilica and to take in the majesty and the grandeur and the sanctity of the place and the history. The history really hits you when you're there. Yes. About, you know, going back so, so long and then being able to look down and see the remains of St. Peter. It was just, in words do it an injustice, but yeah, as John Paul II said, I can only be understood from the inside, I can't be understood from the outside. And when you try to explain to people what it felt like, it's very hard to do it justice, but it was just a tremendous, tremendous privilege, a life-changing experience.
Mm-hmm. Everything go okay at the Mass?
It did, it did. We were told, the one thing we were told to do, well, the thing, I'll go back to when we went in for the Mass itself. We vested, and of course, I was vested in the wrong size. And this Monsignor walked past, and he kind of took one look at the hemline of my alb, and he tut-tutted, clicked his fingers. And with that, there's about three or four nuns that ran over to have a look and see what was wrong. And they realized it was about a half an inch too short. Everything had to come off again. And this was about half an hour before the Mass was to begin. I was completely, they took everything off, and then within, I'd say, 30 seconds, had everything back on again and perfected. And then we were told, move into this room over here. So, and I never knew this before, but in front of the statue of the Pietà, there's bulletproof glass.
Yes.
But between the bulletproof glass and the actual statue, there's a chapel. There's an altar in there. So we were told to take our place in there with the seminarians that were actually going to be serving the Mass. And when we went in, the Holy Father's vestments were on the table. So I looked at one of the deacons beside me and I said, the Holy Father's hardly going to vest here with us. And he said, oh, no, no, no. The Holy Father will vest and he'll come down. So that was grand. And then there was a little wooden door over on my right-hand side and a small little wooden door. And there were two security men. And they were very kind of laissez-faire. They were kind of laughing and joking and very, very kind of casual. And every now and again, they would smarten themselves up and have a look down the doorway, and then they'd relax again. But I saw then Monsignor Marini came, and he started to vest. He put on his surplice, and then the security man began to stand up straight and got very smart, and the door opened, and in walked the Holy Father.
Oh, my heavens. Oh.
It was just incredible. He came in, and he just stood at the doorway, and he looked at every one of us one by one, first of all, and then he came in to the seminarians first, because they were nearest the door, and he stood, he shook hands with everybody. If you had wanted a half an hour with Pope Francis, he would have given it to you.
Oh my.
He gave as much time as you needed. You know, the seminarians, I think they were Filipino seminarians, so I know our Filipino seminarians, they get very emotional and they get very excited, and they did that day, and, you know, they were jumping up and down and clapping, and they were asking him for hugs, and he would hug them, and some of them were asking him would he sign the little missalettes they have, and no problem, he signed that, and I began to realise he was coming closer and closer to me, and I was thinking, what do I say? You now have the Holy Father here in front of you. What do you say? And I couldn't think of anything. I wanted to say so much, but at the same time knew that I couldn't say everything I wanted to say. And within a matter of seconds, he was there in front of me. And he stretched out his two hands, a big, big smile, and he took my two hands in his. And all I could say, in dreadful Spanish, I have to say, because I had this kind of practice, my daughter is learning Spanish in school, was to say, thank you for everything. That's all I could say to him. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everything. If he had asked me my name, I wouldn't have been able to tell him. I was awestruck. I was completely awestruck. But I did remember that I had a little bag of medals that I brought with me. And it was a bag of miraculous medals that I wanted to get blessed by him so I could bring back to sick people. And I asked him, I said, Holy Father, I said, I have a bag of medals here for some sick people. Would you bless them, please? And he went into a very serious, I'll never forget it, you'll see it on the photographs, I think I sent you over some photographs, but he went into a very serious kind of a demeanour, and he took the bag and he put his fingers into the medals and he touched them and he blessed them and he looked up at me then and he smiled and he took me by the two shoulders and that was it, all over. And he'd moved on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
That was just incredible. You know, and I mean, you know, you can he looks at you. He's present to you. He's not thinking about who's next, or he's very present. He listens very intently. And the one thing we all commented on, and I haven't heard anybody else say it before, his hands are so soft. His hands are like marshmallows. They're so soft, you know. And I remember we all said afterwards, did you see how soft, or did you feel how soft the Holy Father's hands were? And they all commented, everyone commented the same way. Very, very gentle, very holy man. Very, very holy man. Beautiful experience.
Amen, amen. So in the honoring of the time that I asked to borrow from your evening with the family, did you distribute communion?
No, until we were on his left and his right, we received communion from him and we received the gift of peace from him. But what we were to do, we were to stay beside him at all times. I see. Whenever he moved, we had to move. And the one thing we were always told was, when he gets to the end of the steps, whether he's coming down from steps or going up from steps, remember to stop, because he gives away his crozier and he takes off his mitre. So you stop with him. And sure, I completely forgot. I went up, went to the steps the very first time, up to the altar of St. Peter, or in the plaza. We venerated the altar together, myself, the Argentinian deacon, and the Holy Father. Then we came down the steps. And what did I do as an Irish deacon? I took off. I was gone. And the Holy Father was back with the Argentinian deacon, and he was fixing his mitre, and he was taking it, and the Irish deacon was halfway up the red carpet.
Oh my.
Until I realised, I think I forgot Father, and I had to stop and hide in behind the Filipino seminarians until he caught up with me, and then I popped out and off we went. But we had forgot, and then when we came down the steps the second time after the gospel to go towards the offertory, we forgot about him again. The two of us this time took off. So we weren't perfect, put it that way. We certainly weren't perfect deacons, but we were very awestruck deacons on the day.
Amen, amen, amen. And then at the end of the Mass, what happened for you?
At the end of the Mass then, we were told that he came down the steps and he took his vestments off. He was about to go in the Pope Mobile. We were told then to immediately, as soon as he had taken his mitre and crozier off, we were to leave with the seminarians and go to the main body of the deacons and wait there. Because we were vested fully. You see, we had the namus, we had the alb, we had the temperature was very, very hot that day. So we were just, at that stage, we were wilting. We really just wanted to get these vestments off. But he greeted most of the deacons that were there that day. I think he greeted almost every single one of them, whether individually with their wives or going around to either side. Mm-hmm. Then he popped into the Pope Mobile, and away he went down the plaza, and we went in and took our vestments, and that was the end of the experience. But it was unusual. There's another little story. We, at the very end, we were given a set of rosary beads from the Holy Father. When we had met him, the Holy Father gives his aide, his Monsignor, a set of rosary beads to give to everybody that's met him. But I had told the Monsignor earlier on that my son was, you know, thinking of priesthood or whatever else, and it could be an option for him. And the Monsignor came back and he said, from the Holy Father, with a second set of rosary beads for Michael. For my son.
Oh, my.
So I was the only one that came back with two sets of rosary beads from the one meeting. So talk about being doubly blessed. It was wonderful. And by the way, we're off to World Youth Day on Sunday.
Yes, and Michael.
And so it's all go. It's all go, thank God.
Well, I'll wrap up. I do want to tell a story to you, Fergal, that I'm not sure if I've shared with you before. There was an Irish priest from Maynooth that used to come over to the U.S. every summer, and he had an experience of serving with John Paul, God rest his soul, at Mass in the private chapel one time. And as you may know, it was the habit of John Paul, maybe every pope, to give out rosaries at the end of the Mass. And the priest that I'm referring to went to the end of the line, so everybody else got rosaries. And when it came to this priest, he was the last one, and John Paul had one rosary left, and it was a very feminine-looking rosary, you know, very crystal and glass. And he looked at the priest, and then he looked at the rosary, and John Paul, in his delightful sense of humor, said, "Do you have a girlfriend?" And and handed him a blessed rosary. So,
yeah, yeah.
Delightful story. of the humanity. Yeah.
And I mean, the joy, just one thing, you know, people talk about Francis being the Pope of Joy. He is. I mean, he smiled. It was a read. It was a beautiful smile. He was happy to be there. He was delighted to be with. And the homily he gave us that day really gave us food for thought about, you know, nourished ministry, and just relights the flame for everybody and sends them away full of the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Lord asks of them.
Amen. Virgil, thank you for taking time away from Mary and the kids. I know that you're with them because one of the children answered the phone when I called.
Oh, yeah, Aideen.
Hey, do me a favor, please resend us the picture of you with the Holy Father, and we'll use that on the Facebook for the...
Certainly, I will indeed. I'll do that this evening, yeah.
All right, God bless, Virgil. Thank you very
God
much.
God bless you all over there. Another time. God bless all the listeners.
We have a couple, make goods to do. We'll do one of them right now. Mariana was on earlier in the show, and we neglected to thank her for her missionary moment, which is always refreshing and inspiring. And she shared with us an idea: just dump the wood chips right here, and it turned out to be a mountain of chips. Mariana, you're a delight and a hoot sometimes, but you're also a holy inspiration. And Dee, we are going to introduce a new segment to our listeners, and one in which they can participate or react at least. This is called Hot Off the Presses. Hot Off the Presses. And it has nothing to do with living near Phoenix. It has to do with the fact that we are not quite inundated, but we are beginning to receive many books from many publishers, asking us to promote them and sometimes to interview the authors of the books.
Which we do quite often.
Yeah. Now, a little while ago, we received an extra copy of...
The Four Keys to Everlasting Love, How Your Catholic Marriage Can Bring You Joy for a Lifetime. And this was written by Carrie Santos and her husband, who is a doctor, Manuel P. Santos.
So you may remember, those who have been with Catholic Vitamins for a while, that we had Carrie on as a guest, and she is a wonderful author, and she was a delight to interview and spend time with. And so that's the first book that we want to tell you a little bit about. It's about the beauty, the way to add eternal happiness to your marriage here on earth. And Dee, do you have something to share there?
Well, I can read just a little bit from the back cover here. It says, no marriage, even a sacramental one, is free from conflict about issues such as sex, money, child rearing, in-laws, and work/life balance. So Carrie and her husband, a psychiatrist who have been counseling couples for more than 15 years, explore how applying the Catholic faith to marriage can free you to experience deep, lasting and soul-satisfying love. And then one of the endorsements down here is from Lisa Miladnik, who is the author of the Be an Amazing Catechist series. And Lisa writes, whether engaged or long married, Catholic couples will fall in love again as they implement these simple but powerful strategies for creating a lifetime of mutual joy. The Four Keys to Everlasting Love unpacks the secrets of genuine togetherness through personal witness, case studies, the writings of the Church, and superb practical recommendations, not to be missed.
Okay, well, stay tuned right here, because just in a minute we'll tell you why this is an opportunity for you to participate in Hot Off the Press. The second book for this segment on this show is The World of Ben-Hur by Mike Aquilina. Now, you may know, of course, there was a Ben-Hur movie from a lot of years ago, but there's a new remake of it, and it's released this summer. And from the back cover, published by Sophia Institute Press, in this must-have for fans of the epic film, acclaimed author Mike Aquilina offers an unflinching look at the life and times in which the epic adventure of Ben-Hur is set. Once you explore the gripping times in which the Roman Empire ruled the world, countless scenes throughout the film will have greater meaning and a significance that only a good knowledge of history, but a fun knowledge of history, can provide. You'll come to a deeper understanding of the Roman penal system that led Judah Ben-Hur to the galleys, the struggle to survive disease and martyrdom, the inevitable destiny of the slave, and the truth about the Roman games that gave birth to the famous chariot race that remains one of the most memorable experiences in cinematic history. So if you are a history buff, and particularly a faith history buff, you may enjoy The World of Ben-Hur. I've kind of pieced my way through part of the book. Looks very interesting. It's by Mike Aquilina. And what we're going to do is offer to give away one of these books to one listener. We'll promote this book by mention, these two books, by mention for the next couple weeks. And all you have to do is send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and say Everlasting Love or Ben-Hur Movie. We'll know what you're after. And then Dee will open up one of her famous baskets. And we will
put those names in there.
Yeah, we'll give away a copy of that, courtesy of the publisher and courtesy of Catholic Vitamins. So, Dee, I said we had two make goods to do. The other is that earlier in the show, we mentioned Justin Stroh and the fact that he had delivered a TNEP to us, this new evangelization podcast segment. And even though World Youth Day is now past, I was inspired to say that even our prayers these days can be of benefit to those who, in our history, our world history, attended that event. We still recommend that you do that. And so, with no further ado, here's Justin. Hey-o.
Hello, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. Hail. Hail. Hail to the bright star. The bright star that heralds the sunrise. The sunrise which is coming into the world, even though the light is decreasing in the world physically because of the summer solstice having passed, and also as we see the morality of the world decline. We know that on the horizon comes a great light to inform our conscience in the very mercy of God. The sunrise. Look east. That's what we're called to do. We're called to look east in our spiritual life, and in fact, every sunrise calls us to do it physically in the morning, right at the beginning of the day, as the first thing, to wait upon the Lord, for He is coming. Those pale streams of red and blue, which are coming from that great mountain of light, who is Jesus Christ. I am heading to Poland in a few days, and I'm heading there for World Youth Day, and our pilgrim group is going to be climbing the very mountain of light where the great saints of Poland received their vocation of life. Like Moses at the burning bush, they received the great light from the burning bush, who is Mary. Mary, the queen of every living soul in Jesus Christ. She is the mother of mercy. The name of the mountain is Jasna Góra in Poland, and the image is Our Lady of Częstochowa, believed to be written by St. Luke on the tabletop of the Holy Family. It is believed that he also wrote the image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, that he also wrote the image of Our Lady of Health in Venice, and many other images of Mary. He lived with her. He knew her. Perhaps these images are a real glimpse into what her face looked like. That face that had the gaze of Jesus in his infancy upon it. That's what we want to gaze upon too. We're making this pilgrimage to this great mountain where St. John Paul II received his vocation, where St. Maximilian Kolbe received the call of his life, where St. Faustina received the call in her life, again, like Moses in the burning bush. And that's what we're looking forward to, we're looking into. Now, some time ago, I released an album on Good Friday, and the name of the album is called Hail Bright Star, in honor of this great image of Our Lady of Częstochowa, in honor of Mary herself. And the whole album is filled with songs that I wrote some years ago, some more recently, in honor of the divine mercy of Jesus Christ through the consecration to Mary. And this is a movement that is growing in the world. Great priests like Father Michael Gately and others who are working together to bring a great increase of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the divine mercy and through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who is always bringing about a greater devotion to her Son, Jesus Christ. We want to trust Jesus, and yet in today's world, when we see violence all around us and the light decreasing, we wonder who to trust. We have a hard time trusting each other in our parishes even. Perhaps even executive teams within parishes have a hard time trusting one another, trusting their priests, and priests in trusting the laity. This is a great problem for us in the world, and our Lord wants to help us with it by giving us the tender light from his Sacred Heart. Do you long for this light? I long for this light. This is one of my intentions as I head to the great pilgrimage of World Youth Day, is to pray for the church in this way, to be a part of the healing, to experience a new brotherhood amongst men in the Catholic Church who are overcoming the sins of lust and the sins of selfishness and are looking to want to give their lives like Jesus Christ gave his life. We don't want to be like the old Adam. We don't want to consume the fruit that makes us think that we're something we're not, God. We want to consume the fruit who is God himself, Jesus Christ, to become more and more like the new Adam. So I invite you to trust in the very Sacred Heart of Jesus, to repeat the prayer given to St. Faustina and the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you.
Well, it's great having Justin back again.
Even if we're carrying him a little bit late, I think his message, his enthusiasm, and his love for the youth to take a group of people and mentor them in Poland.
Well, now that we know he was at your World Youth Day, and we know that Deacon Fergal was at World Youth Day, we may have to get one of them to come on and give us a recap.
That'd be nice. That'd be very nice. Well, earlier in the show, we played some music by Danielle Rose. It was two or three years ago that we've had her on the show. I think she's been on two or three times. She's been very kind to Catholic Vitamins, and we want to thank her for letting us use her sung version of Psalm 139, my favorite psalm of all of the psalms. And speaking of singing, I played a little bit of the music of the priests singing at Franciscan University. To be in the presence of 150 or 200 priests, many with their hands up in the air, singing with praise and singing, you know, how great is our God. It's just so very inspiring. And I wanted to share a little bit of the music that we enjoyed there at Franciscan University. Now, Dee, we haven't had a marriage moment in a while. And
That's because we haven't been here in a while.
I know. Yeah. I came across an article in an older Catholic Digest on marriage mentoring, and it gave rise to my thinking that in our parish, for example, we have a couples prayer retreat that is being offered, and I know it's not unique to our diocese. That sort of program is offered a lot of places. And in this article, there was talk about the Alexander family. I think her name is Julie, and at the moment I can't make her husband's name come to mind. But she was on Catholic Vitamin some years ago talking talking about the work they do for helping married couples. And we talked about the book, The Four Keys to Everlasting Love. And just to repeat one other area of marriage work, you know, Don and Betty, our good friends up in Denver, Deacon Don and Betty Schaefer, they have been involved in
Marriage Encounter.
Marriage Encounter for 25 years and more. And they've had a group that they've been meeting with for forever. So you know, some people come and go, but it always is a group that meets once a month, and they share food and fellowship, and it helps in their marriage journey. So our marriage moment this time is, if there's any stress, any strain, or any areas where you're not spending enough time together, consider marriage mentoring in one form or another. And I think that Marriage Encounter is a great way to do it. You ever notice the couples that come up and stand in front of me who stand side by side to receive the Eucharist?
I do, and I experience it because I'm a Eucharistic minister. So occasionally they'll come over to the cup and they'll be standing that way.
All right, let's begin our wrap-up. Remember, we're offering, as part of Hot Off the Presses, one of these two books, The Four Keys to Everlasting Love, How Your Catholic Marriage Can Bring You Joy for a Lifetime by Carrie and Manuel Santos, and or The World of Ben-Hur by Mike Aquilina, a great insight into the history of the times of the movie that Ben-Hur is about. And that's Hot Off the Presses, in this case, by Sophia.
Sophia Institute Press, and the other one by the Santos couple is from Ave Maria Press.
Our good friends at Ave Maria, who, by the way, are maybe making Deacon Tom a publisher, I mean an author.
An author, maybe.
Yeah, we've been paid a little bit of money, but we haven't seen the book in print yet.
We'll After talk all the work, you, we'll it talk, better happen.
We'll talk about that later. All right, I think we're ready to start our wrap-up.
We are at Catholic Vitamin for next time. Catholic Vitamin Clue. It's going to be Catholic Vitamin J.
Begins with a J.
It's going to end in the number 2.
Oh, wait a minute. We always end in a letter. What's that about?
Well, because we're doing a repeat.
No. Well, all right. Okay. All right.
So, I shouldn't have said that. That's too much of a clue, huh? So. Okay. Well, whatever. J ends in 2.
Yeah. Take a guess. Send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And say D. Think ahead before you give a clue. And we look forward to being with you with another show, and hopefully in a little more timely fashion now that I'm beginning to feel my oats a little
well,
bit.
Well, and our travels or summer travels are pretty much over, and we're kind of staying in one place now for a while. So, yes, hopefully more regular podcasting.
Go to Facebook and go on Friends of Catholic Vitamins and join us there so you get news about special events and things that are happening. And we'll see you on our next show.
Bye.
From A to Z. Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.